99% Inspiration. Tips, Tales, and Techniques for Liberating Your Business Creativity. Author, Brian W. Matamore. Imagine yourself in a room full of strangers, where it's your job as the facilitator to help them brainstorm new ideas. These people don't necessarily want to be there. They may not think of themselves as particularly creative, and indeed, maybe even afraid of creativity. They even may not particularly like or trust the other people with whom they're supposed to brainstorm. So, what do you do? How can you, 1, help make the people feel comfortable and even begin to trust one another? 2, take the creative pressure off them? 3, show them that it's okay to fail? In fact, that it's critical to the process that they do fail? And 4, if possible, get them laughing, or at least smiling. This is a guide that will introduce you to some ideas for brainstormers that will help spark your group's creativity. The interaction between the conscious and the subconscious. Coming up with a creative idea involves 3 important stages. First, there's an immersion in the problem. One learns all one can and thinks hard about how to solve it. In stage 2, the subconscious, through some mysterious hidden mental activity, begins working on the problem. Then in stage 3, a new complete idea suddenly presents itself to the conscious, and a eureka occurs. Gordon and Pose designed an ingenious experiment to test the interactions of the conscious and the subconscious parts of the mind. Subjects were shown a picture of a common household electrical outlet and asked to find an analogy, in this case, a living thing, for what the outlet looked like. The subjects were also asked to describe out loud the thoughts and feelings they were experiencing as they tried to find an appropriate analogy. As subjects concentrated on the features of the electrical outlet while simultaneously looking for an analogy, they discovered after a time that their image of the electrical outlet became less distinct. When the object's fuzzy and made creatively ambiguous, then the subconscious mind can begin its search for an analogy. Once the analogy is found, the subconscious can transfer the answer to the preconscious and the final conscious mind, often in the form of a eureka experience. Creative robots, computer, and idea labs. Creativity computer programs. These creativity computer programs are indeed good servants, but by no means masters of creative thinking. Just as Edison relied on the workshop tools to help and eventually, occasionally trigger new ideas and inventions, these creativity computer programs will also trigger new ideas. But they certainly won't do any thinking for you. You, just like Edison, still have to add the genius. The Idea Lab. As ideas become increasingly important to a company's success, and indeed survival, one can imagine creativity computer programs even helping to establish new departments and employee titles within major companies, such as Creative Resources Department, Idea Lab Manager, or Idea Facilitation Manager. Thomas Edison's favorite invention was the phonograph, but he considered his best invention to be his invention factory, which was his R&D labs at Menlo Park and West Orange, New Jersey, because it allowed him to create all of his other inventions. Could it be that someday Idea Labs will be America's 21st century version of Thomas Edison's 19th and 20th century invention factory? Starting the rediscovery process. Do some experiences, memories, loves, or accomplishments from your childhood stand out as symbols or clues to your unique genius? If one gets in touch with some of their childhood experiences, it might be a powerful, potentially life-changing creative experience. However, repressed feelings, and even very painful emotional wounds from childhood, sometimes made it difficult to get at that genius. It is important to be very gentle in helping people open themselves up to new and more creative ways of thinking and being. Opening oneself up too quickly to the creative flow of the subconscious can be a shock to the psyche, and has the potential to be both unbalancing and unhealthy. Personality traits to great inventors. If you study the lives of great inventors, 2 key personality traits stand out: a fierce independence and a persistence. Invariably, creative people will tell you that they learn more from their failures than their successes. Thomas Edison even took issue with calling his failures failures. He preferred to think of them as invaluable contributors to the eventual success of the project, helping him to learn what wouldn't work. Personality trait number two is fierce independence. Challenging the status quo takes great courage and self-confidence. An extension of this courage is the inventor's willingness to entertain ideas that others consider radical or just plain crazy. Great success, it seems, comes only to those who risk great failure and great embarrassment. Mental disciplines for inventing. With the right mental disciplines and training, most of us can learn to do things we'd normally presume to be impossible. Yes, talent is important. Inspiration is critical. Love is essential. But so is hard work. Creativity, despite what the muses might have you believe, is no exception. The most successful inventors work very hard at their craft, hard to the point of obsession. They don't just stand by waiting patiently to receive a flash of inspiration. No, they actively seek out that inspiration. But how? By following three of the most important mental disciplines that I know for inventing, or any other creative pursuit for that matter. First, continually asking all kinds of questions, no matter how far out or seemingly absurd. Two, trying to visualize or see answers. And three, freely associating different concepts, no matter how remote the connections. The Twilight Technique. The time just before falling fully asleep at night and just before becoming fully awake in the morning is known in psychological terms as twilight time. If you wish to discover the deepest essences of problems to be solved, twilight time would be the most opportune time to make these discoveries. By simultaneously giving you access to the logical conscious mind's abilities and to the more fanciful wishes of the subconscious mind, twilight time can literally give you the best of both worlds. The Three View Technique. Consider looking at a problem from at least three different perspectives. Think of Disney's dreamer, realist, and critic strategy. Then, integrate the essential elements of all three of them into one coherent whole. At the very least, you'll learn to identify and possibly appreciate another point of view. At best, you'll attain a level of understanding and appreciation of your problem that will lead to truly innovative solutions. Who am I anyway? The role-playing technique. Role-playing my mother-in-law. In role-playing, you simply pretend that you're someone else. Then you ask this person inside you for ideas. It's a simple, profound, and remarkably powerful technique, one that you can use either alone or with groups. Often, when I use this technique in ideation sessions, I'll pass out identity cards with a picture and short biography of the role each person is to adopt. Then I'll simply go around the room, have everyone introduce themselves, and ask for their input on the problem. You are the product is the role-playing exercise that is especially useful for new product development assignments. Essentially, participants pretend that they are a product and talk about how being that product makes them feel, act, or even perceive the world. In an assignment for the Rich Products Company, the goal was to name a new healthy dessert topping that would be sold to restaurant owners. The team had one person play the dessert, one play the topping, and another play the dessert eater. The dessert said that he didn't want something too heavy to lift. The topping said that he wanted to be a friend of the dessert, to get along with him well. And the dessert eater said that he didn't want anything too messy. The name Top Life, to imply a dessert topping for a healthy lifestyle, was the chosen winner. Saving the worst for last. I wanted to give you one last brainstormer's trick of the trade. This is an almost never-fail technique for breaking creative logjams and coming up with a breakthrough idea. It's also a lot of fun. It's called the worst idea. And as its name implies, everyone in this exercise tries to come up with a really bad idea. In fact, the worst possible idea they can possibly think of. Stupid as this technique sounds, you'd be amazed how powerful a creative exercise it can be, and how difficult it often is to think of a really bad idea. Invariably, someone will propose what initially, truth be told, does sound like a bad idea. Often it's quite funny. But then human nature and the competitive spirit being what it is, someone else will find a way to turn this idea really bad into something really good. and occasionally brilliant. It all comes to risk. The key to successful group process could be summarized in a single word, risk. The primary job of the facilitator is to establish a climate where each participant can feel safe taking risks. Like all timeless truths, it's simple, but not necessarily easy.